It's Thursday, February 20th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 331 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 29 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
This is Julia.
My name is Pat.
And this is Trampas.
All right, joining us as a guest host, for anyone who does not remember Trampas, he's been on here before. This is Trampas Whiteman from the Dragonlance Nexus, and once upon a time, the podcast, the Dragonlance Canticle as well. I don't know, is there any plans to bring the Canticle back, or is that kind of...
It hasn't gone away, dude. It's still gone.
Where did I come up with the idea it was gone? I'm a terrible person.
Well, we know Dan's not a listener.
I would swear you told me at one point you were shutting it down.
If you listened, then you would double our listenership by far.
All right. Well, then apart from me being a dumb dick, so Dragonlance Canticle and Dragonlance Nexus. Dragonlance Nexus being a great resource website for anything and everything Dragonlance. They've got a great relationship with, in fact, the people that made Dragonlance. And then Dragonlance Canticle, the podcast to go along with it, which is still completely functioning. And never went away at all. I certainly would not have said that. And Trampas also joined us actually for an episode that was recorded before this, even though it's not going to be released until next week, which is the Kender going on trial. And that won't be released until next week. But I think in a way it's good to have Trampas here for this episode because we were kind of playing to character in that episode. I think people that aren't familiar with us might misinterpret that as like that's our genuine rapport. And so I think I'm glad to have you here both for your insight and for some social context for listeners at home. All right. So here's what we're going to talk about in this episode. And it's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode because of the fact that I need to get this one into a link that I can edit before I depart on a trip. I'm going to be at a conference in Florida next week. It's kind of messed up my whole recording release schedule. So to make sure I can get all these episodes recorded and released and also have one scheduled for release come next week, I need to get some of these things going. So let's get down to it. I was recently on an episode of Happy Jacks, and while on there was a question that came up and I answered over there. Wayne and I got to talking about it and kind of decided this is something that we really ought to do over here as well. And the question that came up was they were asking me about the group template, and then I went from talking with them about the group template to actually doing a kind of on-air demo of the group template. And I realized that, first of all, while we use the group template in conversation all the time, we've not actually really stopped to define it since episode 2. Since an episode that was now almost 8 years ago.
Dan, is it ripping off another podcast content if you were on the other podcast at the time?
And I was ripping off my own show when I was over there. And I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Maybe this weird, confused, like, try and follow the rights of who owns a Marvel property sort of way, but...
I have no problem doing that.
I have no doubt that you can do it. The rest of us need those little pie charts, their little Venn diagrams where people post online every so often that explain it.
I have the rights to the Impossible Man movie.
Ooh. Something else that I don't know that we've ever done on this show, including back in episode 2, not that I recall with complete certainty, is actually demonstrating the group template, like actually doing one. So for anyone who's not familiar with the group template, has never actually seen the group template, there is a suggested questionnaire which you can find in the resources section of our website. And for anyone that's never looked at it before, I'll put a link to it on the show notes, or you can just click on the resources link on the website, feartheboot.com, and you'll find one there. Now, what is there is 10 questions that are meant to help you create a group template. But I don't necessarily consider those an absolutely exhaustive or perfect list. It's just an example way of approaching it. So let's start by defining the group template. And in the interest of not completely dominating the mics and repeating things I've said in the past, I'd like to kick it to one of you three, or one of you four, to define the group template.
Okay. Well, I'd like to take a shot at this
all
first.
Right, go ahead.
Because I think too many people hear about the group template, and what they envision is this document that you fill out that is a hard-coded document that's going to explain how you role play. And it's not really what it is. It's more fluid than that. The questionnaires are suggestions for what you would put in it. But basically, I describe the group template as a process that you go through when defining your group to put yourself one step ahead when the campaign starts. So all the characters have a reason to be there, a reason to interact with each other, and have a purpose.
I think that Dresden Files and the Fate system help that along. It's a very similar idea where you create the world together and you do everything together as a group.
Yes, and I would very much agree with that. The group template as presented, like I said, it's not meant to be an exhaustive or perfect list. It's just to get you thinking in the right direction, because there's a problem that a lot of gaming groups have. In fact, this is where the group template first came from, was we got really frustrated with the first game kicks off and you find out very quickly that the party either lacks motivation to be together at all, or once they get past an immediate threat or accomplish an immediate goal, they suddenly lose any motivation to stay together. And the point of the group template is simply to say, okay, we have some idea coming into this that this is why the party is going to stick together and function together over a long period of time. And we found that using it, it doesn't make your game beyond any possible problem, but it does seem to head off, I would say, 90 some odd percent of the things that I've seen very quickly kill campaigns, especially at the character level, because you know these are people that on some level are at least going to function together.
Yeah, the group template is something that I really wish I had years ago, because I was playing a Star Wars game. It was D6, Wesson Games, and we were playing the Darkstrider box set. The short version is that there's a sector of space. It's kind of like out in the Outer Rim or something. There's a Moff out there causing all sorts of trouble. He's genocidal. He's doing bad things, and he needs to be taken down. The only resources the rebels can spare is a Corellian corvette. What few starfighters they have can't all fit in the hangar bay. Some are hanging on the side. And, you know, you've got to somehow take the bad guy down. So I have my players come to me and I'm asking, what do you want to play? You know, and so I have one guy who wanted to be the Jedi, and I'm like, okay, cool, I can do this. There are two guys who wanted to be bounty hunters. I'm like, okay, fine. But the problem is they were looking for more of a mercenary game. I was looking for more of a heroic game. And I don't think we communicated that properly to each other.
That is, I think, perhaps the one thing that if I was to change the group template sample questionnaire as it's written, I would probably either change about question number one or possibly add to the questionnaire. I think there needs to be an understanding of what all parties want out of this game. And as it's phrased right now, I think it says, asking of the players, what does the GM need us to be, or does the GM need us to be or do anything?
Does the Game Master need our group to be something in particular for his or her plot?
And now that is still a good question. I guess maybe this really isn't quite as redundant with it as I thought. But I think the question I would add to that is, what do all parties want out of this game?
Yeah, I was going to say something along the lines of, what does the player need the game to be for his character?
Because, for example, in recent games, I've had issues where the party's going to be moving around a lot, but some people, they make characters that fit in quite well with the group template, but they're really tied to the starting area. They don't really have a lot of broad ambitions. You make something really social, but it's a combat-heavy game, or vice versa. You make a combat-heavy character, but it's a really social game. And so I think there needs to be some amount of expectation setting prior to building the group template. But the important thing here is to make sure you have some kind of a cohesive party idea. At this point, I want to do a little bit of a thought experiment, where on air, we are going to actually create a group template. All right, so Pat, since you've not said anything this episode, other than my name's Pat.
I got the important shit out.
Yeah.
It's what they come to expect.
So, something about pornography, anything?
Sure, I can show you some real quick.
That won't help the listeners.
I showed Julie some earlier.
So, so anyway. Pat, I'm going to let you pick the game system. What game are we playing? It's got to be one I know.
Let's play Deadlands. Do you know Deadlands?
I don't know Deadlands.
I've played it, but I don't know it well enough to
Shadowrun. I'm just
all right. Well, let's do Star Wars, because I was actually thinking about Star Wars.
Okay, we Trampus just did Star Wars,
and he did, but
we can do Star Wars. Okay, so here's the way I would do as a game master. Okay, so I have come to this game, and my players are Wayne, Julia, Pat, and Trampus, and we know that we're going to play Star Wars. All right, we've narrowed it down, so we're going to play episode 4, 5, and 6 era. So
the only good ones.
Though. Okay. I agree. The Empire still stands. You have Star Destroyers and all that kind of stuff. Exact movie doesn't matter. I will say maybe it's during episode 5, it's during Empire. Okay, so sometime around that time frame. What do you guys want to be?
But I want to be a Jedi, and there's only one Jedi in that time frame.
We're not sticking that hard to canon. Yeah, that's good question, though. Are we sticking that hard to canon? The answer is no. I'll allow things as long as they're not wildly outside of canon. We'll modify canon a bit. So there's multiple Force users. There's maybe only one Jedi who's that important or that central to the unfolding events of the galaxy, but we'll work around that. There's two ways, by the way, to kind of dissect this process, which is either you can approach it by saying, we as a group want to be this, or it's possible that if someone says, well, as an individual, I want to be this, that might start to drive the rest of the process. Now, I typically recommend starting with the group, not the individual, because of the fact that it gives people more of a freedom to express themselves. So, for example, if Wayne says, well, I want to be a Jedi, well, that immediately says, okay, we can't play Empire. But let's say everybody else wants to play Empire. Well, I might be able to give you a Force user in there.
Yeah, and that would really, that's something about knowing your players. You know, when I say I want to play a Jedi, what I'm thinking is, what I want is the Force and the lightsaber.
Right, all right.
I am just as cool with the
Sith. So let's start with that. Okay, we're playing Star Wars. I'm going to say that I want a campaign that's got a pretty good amount of action at Star Wars. We definitely need some adventure. So as a game master, that's what I'm looking for. There will certainly be a good mix of social stuff in there, but expect to see some action, and there might be some ship-on-ship stuff. I'll do my best to come up with some rules, because the rules that came with Star Wars D20 really kind of sucked. But putting that aside,
a friend of mine worked on the last set of rules, thank you.
And I'm sure his rules... Well, did he do Saga or D20 Revised?
He did Saga Edition.
I'm talking about D20 Revised.
Oh, well.
No, actually, I really
unless he worked at D20 Revised.
Unless he worked at D20 Revised, which exactly. I'm talking about yes. D20 Original. And if he did that, too, I'm talking about West End. And if he did that, too, I'm talking about the Clicks game.
You know, when I hear about Star Wars games, I always hear about the bounty hunters, the Jedi, the heroes. I think it would be fun to try being for the working for the Empire.
Okay. Wayne, sir, not playing for the Empire. How do you guys feel about that? Do you want to play for the Empire?
Sure.
It's fine with me.
Okay.
Like maybe a strike force for the Empire.
Okay. So we've now set forth as a group, at least kind of the loose concept of you guys are going to be making Imperial characters. There's a framework we have to work within. So now as a game master, I know if somebody throws something at me that is going to wildly sit in conflict with that, and the rest of the party's not cool with that, it's out of bounds. If somebody says, well, I want to play the guy who has rebel sympathies, and the party's not okay with a betrayer being in the ranks, then I know I can immediately rule out this character, because within 3 games, either that character's going to be dead, or the rest of the party's going to be dead, or feelings are going to be hurt, campaign's over, so I know that's out of bounds. So we're playing Empire. Does anyone have an idea for a type of character they'd like to play, or even something in particular they'd like to see out of this game?
Ooh, I have an idea.
Okay, let's hear it. What is your idea?
Okay, so the idea is not from this time period normally in strict canon. It is something seen in the Dark Horse comic books and in the D20 Saga Edition game. It's the Legacy era, and in that era, they had this concept called a Imperial Knight. The idea is that the Empire came up with their own version of Jedi Knights who dress in like a Crimson Guard style uniform. Now, my idea is that rather than...
Now, I've not read the Extended Universe stuff. Is this kind of like the Emperor's Hand? It's similar because I know the Emperor's Hand were people that had like a dispensation of the Force from the Emperor.
No, I haven't read a ton of canon, but I know a lot about it, the costumes and stuff behind them.
Okay.
And what they
are. Okay, so this is a standalone Dark Jedi who is a Dark Jedi in his or her own right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, carry on. I'm okay so far.
Right. So basically the idea that he is the only Imperial Knight of this time. You know, the Emperor sees him as an Emperor's Hand, but he wants to get rid of the Emperor, start up a new Dark Jedi knighthood within the Empire, and not necessarily the Sith.
But that's the kind of thing he's going for, is to revive something like the Sith Empire, even if it's not per se exactly the Sith Empire.
Right.
Okay, so Tramp has given me an idea for a character. Now, it sounds like it's Empire, but kind of a subversive side of the Empire. Are you guys okay with this? And he's got a pretty grand scheme in mind. Do you guys feel like that's something you can work in or around?
Would we all sort of be members of this group, do you think? Or would it allow for looking, supporting?
Right.
I mean, are there other supporting classes that would be sort of needed?
That's a good question, Travis. How do we work this out such that there can be other people in the party that aren't just henchmen to your goal? Because that's a pretty ambitious goal. It's a cool goal.
Well, isn't everybody my henchman?
Well, and that's a fair question. Are you guys okay with being his henchman? If the answer is no, then the answer is no.
I wouldn't want to be a henchman.
Yeah, though. I wouldn't okay. want to be a henchman.
I'll pause here to give a little bit of kind of metagame commentary. But one of the things I'm doing right here is I'm in advance looking for fail points within this game, things that are going to piss people off, and I'm trying to address those now before game one. Okay, so let's keep working with them. Okay, so Trampas, how can we get this idea of yours, and we may find this is a non-starter, but for a moment, let's chase it. What can we do with this idea of yours so we can give you what you want without them becoming your henchmen? Can this be a longer-term goal, a more subtle goal? Maybe it's part of a more complex plan. Maybe these guys have their own goals.
Sure. I mean, what I envision is we're kind of a subversive faction, a very secretive faction within the Empire. It's just starting up. I'm looking for allies. I'm going to need military support. I might need technical support. You know, I'm going to need all these various different people to help get to a certain point.
And if can I suggest something as a game master here that might open up a lot of possibilities here? If you're trying to get that kind of support, there are two places you're going to get it. People within the Empire that feel disenfranchised for some reason, but are otherwise within the Empire. They're okay with the Empire as a whole. They just don't like the status quo. Or if you get away from the Emperor where he can't watch what you're doing, and you get away from his most loyal inner circle, you might find some people, let's say out in the fringe worlds, who really aren't affiliated with anyone. You know, they're independents, they're pirates, they're whatever, who might be able to be brought on board to this cause, maybe on a quid pro quo basis, maybe they're available for hire. How do you guys feel about, well, Trampas, does this fit kind of what you're trying to do?
Actually, that would work, yes.
Okay. How do you guys feel about this? Do you see someplace where you can hook? Now, see, this is the next thing we need to do. We need to make sure there's relationships between the characters that are meaningful. So when the plot shifts or something else happens, they stick together and keep working together. Do you guys see a way to make characters that would interest you that would fit into this? And feel free to do a little pushback and ask Trampas for some concessions if that's what's necessary. But let's try it out. Do any of you have an idea for a character that you think would link in pretty well with this?
So I have an idea for a character. It's a Force user.
Okay.
He thinks the Jedi's didn't have it right, the Sith didn't have it right. They weren't trying to balance their use.
There's actually a class for that. I can't remember what it's called.
The Jin Sarai.
And that's basically his mindset is that you need to truly be in balance. You need to embrace both the light and the dark side of the Force, the yin and the yang to be whole. He would be looking for people like what's being described here because he wants the Sith to be taken down. He would want the Emperor taken down and replaced with a new order that...
So you'd maybe share his goal, and let's deepen that relationship. On top of that, you probably have some light side powers he doesn't have. He obviously knows more about the dark side than you do. So maybe you two, in addition to working together, are also kind of comparing notes.
Yeah, and this isn't the old days, so it's not like you can go to a council and get trained.
Okay, no,
we're teaching each other.
Or, hold on.
Okay.
So maybe my character was actually once part of this order, and I'm kind of more of a radical, but yet we're like old friends or comrades or something.
Okay. How about brothers? The Force is strong within families, so...
Yes.
How about twin brothers?
And the important thing here is now we've just taken an idea...
Sister.
We've now applied it to history. Okay, now what we need to do... There's something in computing called a star schema. Mm-hmm. A star schema is where you have one point in the middle and all their points coming off of it. Do not ever set up a group around a star schema, meaning everybody knows everybody else through one character. Don't ever do that.
If that character dies.
Because if that character dies or that person leaves the group or whatever happens, suddenly nobody has any connection anymore. You always want to make sure the connections are more diverse than that. So, Julie and Pat, do you guys have any ideas for what you'd want to play that could fit into this?
I was thinking pilot or politician, because I think they need possibly political contacts, diplomacy.
I was going to say a face for me, but if that's what
I was just doing, I haven't decided. I was just trying to think, especially in this universe, it's so different. Like, you know, when you do fantasy, it's easy. I mean, it's easier to say you kind of know what sort of classes you need. But here, it's much more nebulous.
Let me tell you what I, as a game master, see already occurring and what I want to propose here. What I, as a game master, see when I think this game through is Wayne and Trampas both have a good deal of power. They have a shared connection and they have at least loose ties to an organization. I need to balance that, because if you two are kind of the odd people out, you don't have your own goals, you don't have your own organization, I think you're going to forever exist in their shadow. Pat, if you're interested in playing a politician, what if I was to make you the leader, governor, whatever title you want, of not a massively powerful fringe world faction, but let's say you've got maybe a city or so you rule. Maybe it's a space station or something like that. You've got some ships under your command. Once again, you're not this massive mover and shaker, but you've got some resources that are going to be necessary to do the hard work. And look, maybe you're going to need some force people. You guys can scratch each other's backs. Maybe we can give you some kind of an ambition where having some force users would really help you stake out some claims and really kind of push down some of your immediate competition.
Yeah.
Which might help you gain momentum to the point that they can start making some undercover runs on the Empire. Maybe. We don't know where the game's going to go, but at least in theory. How does that sound to
you? What if he was the governor, or you were saying leader of a city or a space station? No, not just anyone, but the one we're based out of. We couldn't operate without him turning a blind eye.
Or perhaps, and then maybe Pat has some ideas of his own, and that's something we're going to want to define to make sure it doesn't contradict you guys. Pat, what kinds of goals does your character have?
I would say that going along the lines of what you'd said is basically expansion. I'm sort of a small fish at the moment, and with designs on growing, certainly.
And there's no better heavy than a dark Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I need power, and this is going to help. Certainly, if the reestablishing Sith are bankrolled and or I'm in good with them, then they can only help my rise to power.
Julie, what kind of character do you want to play? Because I see several openings here, but I don't want to lead you by the nose. Yeah, what kinds of characters do you have in mind?
I was thinking somebody more on the underground, somebody who can help with the lower level of things. So the thieves, the people who can maybe dig up bad stuff that we could use.
Are you thinking more of an economic sort of thing, or more of like a hacking slicer sort of thing?
More of an economic thing.
So more of an economic thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Pat's Empire, as small as it is, Pat's little kind of, you know, bandit kingdom or whatever it happens to be, we can flesh out the details later. It has to be funded somehow.
Yeah.
So do you want to say you're one of Pat's right-hand people whose role is to help him keep funded, figure out where the good trades are, maybe even do a little bit of smuggling or some insider trading type stuff? So maybe that's kind of where you fit into things. And maybe you also do some administration work with some of his fleet assets.
Right.
I'll use Fleet Loose Gear. He doesn't have a huge fleet, but what he has.
Right.
Okay.
It's more the accountant.
Okay. So that's how. So you guys have been on the station. Pat's been turning a blind eye to it. We have shared history here. Now, I think we could go on from here to start defining in greater detail how some of those things have occurred. Maybe even for the sake of giving you guys some RP, defining some shared experiences you had or whatnot. It's not necessary, but it's an option. But now what we have is we have a group of people that know each other, have a reason to work together, have a shared history, have a common bond. If I, as a game master, have something that I want out of the game, this is where I can push on it. Honestly, if I was to run this game, there's one really simple, stupid thing I want that'd be really easy to do, which is I love cloak-shaped fighters for some reason. So, Pat, I want you to know that your primary fighter group is going to be a wing of cloak shapes. So you're just going to have to live with that, unless John's playing, which case I guarantee he'll want a Z95, so I'll give him a pair of Z95s. But do you guys see this is what a group template works like? This is how
that's why when I was giving the definition, I gave it as a process.
Yes.
Because while it is a form and questionnaires that we put out there as a resource, I look at the group template as a process of getting there.
Yeah.
Getting to that point.
And I think that's accurate. I think you could compare it almost to any other human relationship. Most of us here I know are married, and you're about to get married. One of the things that some people go through, and I think is a good idea, is before you get married, go through premarital counseling. You know, I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, but I think it's a good idea. And if you do it, one of the things they're likely to do is to make sure that you guys have asked each other certain questions. Have you talked about kids? Have you talked about where you're going to live? Have you talked about what your values are in life? And Pat's gritting his teeth. So I don't know what I've just stepped on here.
No, nothing. I was saving you an edit.
Oh. Whether she likes it in the butt. I mean, is this
exactly? Yes. Yeah.
All right. So
is anal on the table. Is
will anal occur on the table?
Anal on the floor, the coffee right. table, yes. the couch.
But the point.
Yeah, I think my connection's breaking up here, guys.
But is there a specific list of questions that will exhaustively save you from any marital strife? And is there a single list of questions that's right for every couple? And the answer, of course, is no. But what there are out there is there are these options, there are these approaches, and that questionnaire that we posted online almost 8 years ago now, that's what it was. It was an example of how to do this. But Wayne, you're absolutely right that it's a process. It's not a checklist. And I think when you're putting that process together, here's a really easy place to start. When our campaigns have failed, this is the question you should ask yourself. When our campaigns have failed, what were the types of issues we kept tripping up on? And you need to customize your process around that. Try and predict those problems and head them off before they occur. And is this going to save you every problem? No. But the idea is that you are going to start straining out a lot of the big problems and improving the chances that your game's going to go well.
In Chad's D&D game that he ran a while back, if we would have gone through the full process and asked some of these questions, we wouldn't have wound up with one character whose family was eaten by another character's race. Wouldn't have happened.
Well, or we would have written it in a little bit more.
We would have known it was going to happen.
Or made it happen, yeah.
Yeah, or written it in on a slightly different way.
I think it also helps so you're not stepping on each other's toes without realizing it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens in our group all the time. We end up creating almost the same character, and it gets so frustrating. So we finally started doing more of, like, a group template idea, and it's working great. So,
well, and I think it also helps integrating future characters, because mm-hmm. if somebody else joins the game or needs to switch characters, because of the fact that you understand what the relationship is within the group, you know where to put in other people. So, for example, if tomorrow somebody else says, I want to join this game, I can say, well, okay, would you be willing to be from Wayne and Trampas's order? Would you be willing to be one of their trainees? Can we work you into Pat's organization? For example, he's got someone who's in the economic side. Would you be willing to do the slicing side? Be an assassin. Perhaps even be someone who does his military level combat assets.
Are you willing to wear Princess Leia's slave costume?
Yes, I am.
I want pictures.
No.
Pat, don't take pictures.
Pat's gonna go home tonight, put that on, and yes, that's not gonna be in the show notes. So
I hear all right, pull it out.
Anything else on the
no I think we yeah. covered it. I mean, showing wow. an example is an easy way of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very simple idea that is hard to explain without doing the example,
right?
And what I find really amusing is the example you did on Happy Jacks with Star Trek.
Yeah.
And then we just did Star Wars now.
I know. I just thought about that.
I don't remember if I picked the one on Happy Jacks, but obviously this one I didn't pick.
I think
pick
you did.
Because I asked Pat for the game. I hope that's been useful. Once again, I know it's a little bit of a short episode, but that's because I'm trying to get out some content here before I'm off to Florida. So thank you guys for tuning in. Trampas, thank you for joining us. And though
thank you.
This is the second episode recorded, as I said before, he will be back next week for an episode we actually recorded before this one, where we will be putting Kender on the trial for their many presumed crimes.
And bringing out the big guns.
Yeah.
And by many, you mean three?
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Stop. Whoa. You. Don't try and taint the jury pool, because that hasn't happened yet. Right? Anyway. All right. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you next time. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.